Kind of.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
You are the first, and hopefully not the only.
Okay.
I think you're going to like tonight's class.
Well, I've taught it before. And I have it handout. I said, you've taught it before several years in a row.
No, this is all totally new.
It's not what you have on
teaching
the web. Oh, it's not on the handout.
I have no handout for tonight's class.
Oh, okay. I thought you were using your handout. Because I had changed the date for you a couple of weeks ago or a week ago.
I forgot all about the handout. Let me take a quick look. Maybe I can integrate some of it.
Well, you actually have three handouts in one. You have Rabbi Ginsburg's and the Zoo's.
Yeah, I remember.
In a week, in it,
It's through the unique astrological link, right?
Yeah.
Hi, Ira.
Good evening, Ira. We'll be starting in a minute.
Ruby.
Good evening. We'll be starting in a half a minute.
Okay, I'm going to mute my phone.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa. Anna Bekoa, Yedula Chimincha, Tati Zerura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yitav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagbenu, Aharenu, no ra, Shayan Sintenun, Na Gibor, Dorshayakuka, Kivavat, Shamren, Sun Gimel Dalad, Yitkatin, Vahem Taharen, Rachame Sitkatha Tami Kamen Betet Reish Saitaf Gimel
Randala
Hasim Kadosh Vero Tucha Nael Adata Tetsuf Bet Tet Donayan Yahid Geir Ramcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Gimelumet Pezayim Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodeya Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. We It brought the energy of creation into our space. We're going to separate the right column energy from the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, Tel Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed Ve'emet, Nose Chesed La'alafim, Nose Avon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakeh. We would normally, we're going to connect to a verse from the Zohar. The energy of this verse is that of certainty. It's from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. And I will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Yishkin Kei B'Tilu Urchimu, Tilu, Tilu, Urchimu. Le'ata L'shem Yud Hei B'Vav Hei L'Yichudah Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Konaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Konanehu Rabbi Abba Amar Dekama Atar Tane Nan Dekudsha Berichu Koma Diaved Le'ela Witata Kola Ihu Yishok V'yovada Tikshot Beleit Lach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Ledach Yaleya Mineya Ulan Haga Beya Kalana Dehakulu Ovada Tikshot Inun Vikola Itzterif Bialma. We're now going to connect to the energy of this current year, 5778, which is the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to be able to walk with Hashem. There are two verses from the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first verse that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Yamnon Vayichal V'yavo Hamelech Liroto Vayomer Amnon El Hamelech Tavo Natamar Achoti Utlatev Le'ene Shete Levivo V'yevre Miyada. The second verse that connects to this energy is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet, is concealed, and it's concealed by being separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha v'yavoni lo kisiti. Amarti ode ale pasha'a Adonai Yohei Wahei Beata nasata Avon chatati sela. Now normally we would go and connect to the 72 names of God. We go through a few more verses from the Tanakh from earlier years. But tonight is a very unique day or night. It's Yud Aleph Cheshvan. It's the 11th day of Cheshvan. And as we're going to discover, these additional verses and the 72 names are all included in the energy of the day. And so we do not need to say them because we're going to receive it through our study tonight. We do need to connect to the Tzaddikim who chose to leave today. And it, as I said, this is the 11th of Cheshvan, and the first Tzaddik that we discussed is Methuselah ben Chanoch. He is the longest living human being. He died at the age of 969. Without going into much detail, we will discuss it, him briefly tonight in our full study. And we know that tonight is the Hilulah of Rachel Imenu, Rachel, our mother. Rachel is the wife, one of the wives of Jacob. She is the mother of Joseph HaSadiq and Benjamin HaSadiq. She is also considered the mother of all of the tribes, all of Leah's children, all of the handmaid's children, all 13 tribes consider Rachel their mother, our mother. And we will discuss why that is tonight. Today is also the birth date of Benjamin and Yaakov Avinu. Benjamin was born, the progenitor of the tribe of Benjamin was born on this day. He was born as Rachel died. His name was changed, and all of that is very significant. We probably don't have time to discuss it at length. Just know that it's significant, and it's part of the energy of this day. A famous Mekubal, Rabbi Menachem Nachum Twersky, known as the Chernobyl Rebbe, lived about 300 years ago, by Pesach Pruskin, lived about 100 years ago. Rabbi Abraham Elimelech Weinberg, he founded the Stinemer Chassidut, and he lived about 200 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Chassman, he lived about 80 years ago. And Rabbi Schneller Zalman Aaron ben Rabbi Maharash, he was nicknamed the Razo. Raz is the secret. In the eighth verse of the Anavakoah, we say in a whisper, tonight's class is the first time in about 3, maybe even 4 years that I have taught a class without a handout. It's unusual, and there's a reason for it. The material that I'm teaching you tonight comes from a modern Mekubal, Rabbi Mendel Chesson. It's the first time I've taught any of his material, but I think you'll find it quite enlightening. I will just tell you that what we're going to talk about for approximately an hour, maybe a little more. Rabbi Kesson on his website has given us 26 hours of videos. So if you're interested in learning more about this subject, that's when we're through, feel free. I will send me an email, and I will provide you the link to his website. What is so special about the 11th day of Cheshvan?
Malka.
In Israel, usually a couple of 100,000 people gather at the gravesite, the tomb of Rachel Imenu. If you ask them why they're going, it's, we're going from the Hilulah of Rachel. But why do you do that? They generally do not know. They just feel this energy that they need to go and do. It's an experience on the 18th day of Iyar, known as Lag BaOmer, which is, some people say, is the Hilulah of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author or the teacher of the Zohar. These two people are essentially the only two tzaddikim that draw these kinds of crowds. Rabbi Shimon draws usually 500,000 people on the Lag BaOmer. And Mother Rachel, usually 250,000, a couple 100,000 people. And this is even risking the issue because her kever, her grave, is in the Arab territory. And currently, in various times in the last 20, 30 years, has been under attack. It's been unsafe, and yet people go. They feel this so strongly. We need to ask the question, why does this happen? And what is the relationship between Mother Rachel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Why did Rabbi Akiva stop, the students of Rabbi Akiva stop dying on this particular day? This is a question that we ask. And we're going to learn the answer tonight, as long as you remind me, in case I forget. We're trying to understand why tonight is so important. It's so important that most Kabbalists stay all night in order to connect to the energy of this day. Yes, it's the energy of Mother Rachel, and we'll understand why. But it's the energy of this day that is important. But in order to understand that energy and why it is important and why this date is so important, we have to have some development. We have to understand things in a little bit of development, even if we are students of Kabbalah. Because I have to assume that there are some people who are not knowledgeable to understand this, and it's important to understand it. So we're going to begin at the beginning, and we're not going to spend hours on this because we only have an hour or so. But we know, we've been taught in Kabbalah, that Hashem emitted 10 sephirot. We don't know what sephirot are. We talk about them as consciousnesses. There's 10 sephirot. They're much more than the circles on the glyph, on the tree of life diagram that we've all seen that we're not supposed to see, that Rabbi Ashlag warns us about. But there are these 10 sephirot that have been emitted from Hashem, from the... And what is the process, purpose of the sephirot? they have the power to create realities, worlds. But the way that they create these worlds is by diminishing their power, transforming their power from, as a metaphorical discussion, a million watts of power to 10 watts of power. They diminish their power step by step. Each sephira does not create a world on its own. It needs all 10. Started the creation of
worlds. You're breaking up.
I'm sorry? Say again.
You're breaking up.
Is this any better?
Yes.
Is this any better? Or do I have to get off and come back on and see if it gets better?
It's kind of staticky.
I'm hearing you clearly. Is anybody having problems hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You've been fading back and forth.
Staticky.
But it was like that also for Mini Zohar for me, so this afternoon.
I would suggest when that happens, try to disconnect and then reconnect. And you'll see that it tends to get better. But I will keep the microphone closer to my mouth, and that should help as well.
That's a little better.
Who did you say the author? Mendel was the first name. What was the last name?
Kessin. K-E-S-S-I-N.
Okay, thank you.
So, as I was starting to say, the Sephirot create worlds. They do so together in unity. And they started the world, what the sages refer to as Olam Haba, the world that is coming. And slowly, world by world, step by step, they reduce the power, the energy of that world, until they've created Olam Hazeh, this world, the physical world. And the purpose of the physical world is so that Hashem can be concealed. And the only place Hashem can be concealed is in the physical world. And then man is created. First Adam HaRishon, the first man, along with Chava, his spouse, he is created. But we're going to ask the question, what is man's purpose? His purpose is to reconnect Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba, to reconnect this physical world to the spiritual worlds, so that we can find and reveal Hashem. Now, there's a lot more to that statement, as we know from the study of 10 luminous emanations. But for this purpose tonight, this is a clear understanding. And the way that we activate Olam Hazeh to become Olam Haba, because if you ask, where is Olam Haba? Where is the world that is coming? It's right here. It's right here in the physical world. But Olam Haba is spiritual, and Olam Hazeh is physical. And we need, as human beings, to elevate Olam Hazeh back to Olam Haba, or conversely, to draw Olam Haba down to our physical world and unify the two. That is called purification. When we purify, cleanse, remove impurity from the physical world, we are making it spiritual. The physical world allows Hashem to conceal himself. But it can only happen in the physical world. Because where does he conceal himself? In the space of the physical world. In the spiritual world, there's less space. There's less time. There's less of Hashem's concealment. Until in Olam Haba, in the world that is coming, Hashem cannot be concealed. He is there for everybody to know. And our job is to bring that world, Olam Haba, down to this world, where we will all be able to see Hashem. And in order to do that, we have to take two steps. And those two steps, those is one, we have to purify the physical. We have to remove the space and remove the time. And we do that by re-energizing the Sefirot to build it, transform the power back up from the 10 watts to the million watts. I'm getting some static as well, and I'm going to mute everyone's phone and see if that clears it up. If you want to ask a question, feel free to do so. You do so by pressing star 6, and then I should be able to hear you. And after you ask your question, while I'm starting to answer it, press star 6 again. So we re-energize the Sefirot, turning the power back on, step by step, returning the physical world back into its original spiritual world called Olam Haba, the world that is coming. And Hashem created three different systems to energize the Sefirot, which allows the world to be purified, unify the two worlds. This is by doing mitzvot. When we do mitzvot, and all have some connection to physicality, they all use certain physical objects. But that doesn't use a physical object. Torah, the book, or a Torah itself. You have something physical to study. And by doing the mitzvot, those items become spiritual. They may look like they're still physical, but they've been purified. There's less space. There's greater energy within them. And we call that energy Kedusha, holiness. Now, when we do a mitzvah, we don't see that effect because the sin of Adam has created a situation that delays the regeneration. It doesn't stop it. It always happens. But it's not, in the same sense, immediate. But in effect, when you do a mitzvah, on a secular concept level, we can say that when we do a mitzvah, we get a point, we get a goodie. But that goodie doesn't get paid right away. It takes a while. And that while is when Mashiach comes, we'll all get all of those points, all of those goodies. Because that's what Mashiach means. Everything we desire, that we truly want. But one way of purifying the physicality so that Mashiach can come, Mashiach consciousness can come, is to do mitzvot. Turning back on the Sefer Yirot and drawing them in this physical world, and through the turned on it. World. Now there is a second system to purify, and that's called teshuvah. Okay. And we've spent a lot of time in the last few months on teshuvah. And the third system is called isurim. Suffering. It's chaos. It's not repetition. That's not a Jewish concept. It's not a Torah concept. It's not attribution. It's cause and effect. We do positive, we receive positive. When we do a mitzvah, we do positivity, we receive those goodie points. When we do negativity, we receive chaos, God forbid. And this is called yisurim. It's called suffering and chaos. But this only happens if we did not do enough mitzvot, or we did not do enough teshuvah. But these three systems is essentially the function to purify the world. These three methods of purification. When we sin, we stop the Sefirot turning on. And if we want with a mitzvah, maybe we stop that turn on. We bring it back to where it was before the mitzvah. But essentially, when we do at points, we don't see the results. When we do sins, we receive chaos. And we're going to learn why we receive the chaos and not the goodies. Hashem created an opponent called Satan, because Satan means opponent. And Satan has jobs. First job is to tempt us to sin. And if we say no temptation, we don't think so. If we fall the temptation and do a sin, Satan goes to his second job, becomes the prosecutor. Us, we did what he asked, and now comes the prosecutor trying to have the negative effect of sin happen to us Hashem is merciful, so there's some past time between negative effects. But when there's enough negative effects, there's the prosecutor. He becomes the third job of the angel of death. When you have energy, you turn. But if you do a sin, or you do the incorrectly, that energy that you strengthen the time. Now we use the word kedusha, but what we're really talking about is enhancing energy, making it more intense. So tonight I will use the word kedusha. I will use the word or turn it with a sin. Now, as human beings, we must first take from the satan that we gave to the satan. That is the first action of the children of Israel, the first action of purification, taking back the kedusha from Satan, which means we have to take Satan. We have to resist his temptations. All that we need to bring, and that's the second job of a human. We must purify, we must bring back the kedusha from Satan, and then we need to bring that that is waiting to come down. We must revealed in this world, and all the kedusha is revealed. Certain human beings have the job of turning away from evil, of resisting the temptation. Other physically. Actually going fighting Satan, returning the energy that people have given to Satan. And then when all of the return, when essentially Satan has died, so to speak, Satan has now supported things, doing what we want, because he's so hungry for kedusha, and he can't get it except us through our thing. And ultimately, he's dying. Once all of that takes place, we can bring from the kedusha that is not yet revealed. Another word for kedusha is sparks of holiness. I will use both, but mostly kedusha. Michelle, Joseph, take back the energy that we've. That is his job. He goes out into the exile, into the others, and he pulls that energy away from Satan. Now he can do that in a more living them, standing up to them, and defeating them. And when that takes place, Satan is losing his energy. And then we have another Mashiach called Mashiach Ben David. Ben David, and his job is to bring down which is the most important, Mashiach Ben David. Mashiach ben Joseph goes and fights. Which do you? The answer is Mashiach ben Joseph has the more difficult job. He's talking about Chachma, the seer. Idea, and that based on that idea, we build another idea, and then we build another idea. This step by step ideas called wisdom. Well, maybe today we call it science. Maybe today we call it, but it's essentially the same thing. Turn on the energy of Adam to the world. The first Adam, and so energy, Kedusha, his Kedusha to the Satan. Why? Satan defeated him. Supposed to withstand the temptation, and he failed. So, process, Adam had two sons, Cain and Abel. Adam had no need to defend Adam. All he had to do was bring down the Kedusha, because the world had no negativity. So Satan wasn't even in the world. He was just potentially. And Adam failed. So now he has sons, Cain and Abel. Cain came to defeat Satan, to take back the energy that Adam had let go to Satan. Came to bring Kedusha. Abel can't bring Kedusha. Abel can't his work to defeat Satan. You have to do it step by step. First, Satan be defeated. Then we can bring the Kedusha that wasn't revealed in the process of defeating Satan. Ten generations, and we have Noah, and the Kabbalists, the way they describe the generation of the flood, the generation of Noah, 98% of the Kedusha cut down and given to the sun. That's how the next generation of Noah was. We only have a little bit more to bring down, but all of it is the Satan. Rabbi Chaim Luzzatto, known as Ramchal, in his writings, he teaches that the ratio of the flood capacity waters of the earth, that is the ratio of condition that had Satan and had left, had yet to be brought down. So you get a real sense delay through our sin. With all of this energy, the world needed to be destroyed. Noah, actually Mashiach ben Joseph, his job was to defeat Satan, to take back the energy that the nations had given. He did protect all amount of Kedusha. To start over. But what does the flood actually represent? Water is the of the Messiah, of Mashiach. Water is a manifestation. All light came down and manifested as water. And when did that flood, when was that flood, when was Mashiach supposed to happen? It was supposed to happen on the 11th day of Shvat, which is tonight and tomorrow in this year of 5778. The energy of today is the light of Mashiach. Everything is there. All of the Kedusha, all of the holiness, all of the energy is available if we had done our job on the 11th of Heshvan. That's why I said the 72 names of God, the 72 names of Sadiqim, everything is there. Happened, but it was delayed. It's to the 17th day of Heshvan. Some say the 18th day. But why was it delayed? As Methuselah, the longest living man, he died. When did he die? He died on the could he not handle the light of Mashiach? That's not why he died. Some say that's the reason. Others say because the generation was and he chose to leave before the flood. He didn't have to experience the flood. So the Heshvan for us always was on the 11th of Cheshvan, his on the Kabbalist, the Torah after the Torah, teaching you tonight, this energy, tonight and tomorrow, and you'll feel it if your energy is up. The light of Mashiach is there. About the Mashiach energy, the rating of Cheshvan. What is the difference? One is the potential. What is the act? And it's just a quick aside. There is no Tishrei, or really the 25th day of Adar, and that is considered the actual. But we count the 18th day of the sun in the potential. And if we count the 18th, 17th, or 18th, in the second month, that so you see why people are always going to the older celebrations and to the Rachel Imenus. Now I have to take you to a different discussion. We have three patriarchs. We have Abraham, which is Chesed. We have Isaac, that is Givurah. And we have Jacob, which is Tiferet. But we have four mothers. We have Sarah, which is Chesed. We have Rivka, which is Givurah. And we have Rachel and Leah, which are Tiferet, married to Jacob. There's just one problem. We learn in reincarnation that a soul is male and female together. So where is our first father? There can't be three fathers and four mothers. Who is the fourth father? And you're going to find this very uncomfortable to hear. The fourth father is Jacob's twin brother, Esau. If Esau had followed the plan of creation, he would have gone out into the world and defeated Satan. But he chose, through his free will, to become a Rasha, to become a part of the negative system, to become evil. And this is a problem for the plan of creation. Who is going to bring the tribes? If Esau had been righteous, he and his wife Leah would have brought six tribes, six sons. And if Jacob had been, was righteous, he and his wife Rachel would have brought six sons. And together, they both would be the right and left sides of Tiferet. Because everything that's in the central column always has a balance between the right column and the left column. But Esau chose to become a Rasha, to become an evil person. And now we have a problem in this in the world. But who's going to bring the tribes? Jacob's job was that of Abel. He was to bring down the Kedusha, to study Torah, and wait until Esau destroyed Satan, and then bring the Kedusha down. But Esau wasn't destroying Satan, he was losing to Satan. All of this that I'm telling you comes from Midrashim. It's all accurate. Which is the more difficult job? Esau's job is more difficult, to defeat Satan. It's easy to study Torah, to sit at a table, to sit in the tent and study Torah. It's difficult to go out into the world, to go out into the field and defeat Satan. So, essentially, Esau was twice as strong as Jacob. But Jacob and Rivka, his mother, figured out a couple of things. Since Esau had given Satan all of the Kedusha again, we were moving very close to the same situation that was the generation of the flood. The world should be destroyed. But Hashem promised not to destroy it by fire, but he didn't promise not to destroy it in another way. So Rivka and Jacob, they made a plan. On one hand, Jacob had to buy the firstborn, the rights of the firstborn. Jacob had to take over the idea of being of fighting Satan and defeating Satan. Rivka understood that. Isaac did not. Isaac was hard of seeing. It has to do with his being on the left column, where he was just not able to see the truth about Esau. So Jacob stole the blessings of the firstborn. He bought the rights, and then he received the blessings. And in effect, Jacob changed the roles. He had come into the world, he had been training with Abraham and with his father Isaac. He'd been training to be the person, the Mashiach, that brought down the energy once Satan was defeated. And now he had to change his role. He had to get the blessings of the firstborn. He had to buy the rights of the firstborn. And then he had to go and study how to use the tools to defeat Satan. So he left Beersheba to go to Haran, to go to Laban's house, which represented Satan, That's why Levon is named Levon. Levon means white. Jacob went to Levon because that's where he had to defeat Satan. And what happened when he went to the house of Levon? Levon tricked him. He married Leah before he married Rachel. He had to marry Leah because Leah was the partner to defeat Satan. What about Rachel? Rachel had the job to bring down Kedusha. Except what took place under the chuppah, when Jacob went under the chuppah and Leah is covered in a veil, Jacob doesn't know that it's Leah. He thinks it's Rachel. Rachel has given Leah the code words. So she's whispering words to Jacob that he expects her to say to prove that she is Rachel. And so what happens is the two women switched roles, just as the two men switched roles, in a sense. Jacob became Mashiach ben Joseph. Jacob needed to defeat Satan, and he was in the house of Satan, the house of Levon, and he needed to defeat him. And his first wife is Leah, who is trained, who was normally going to defeat Satan, but they got changed because Jacob had the tools to change the energy and the DNA of these two women. But he thought Rachel was there, and he was changing Rachel to do what? To defeat Satan instead of bringing down the Kedusha. And he was changing Leah to bring down the Kedusha instead of defeating Satan. And all of a sudden, the stories in the Midrashim start to make some sense. It's not the way we read it on a literal level, is it? It's a very different story. Jacob has a job. He is now trying to and succeeding in defeating Satan. He's taking back the energy. And we have the Midrashim about Jacob defeated Levon, so Levon is now losing wealth. Who is helping him fight Satan, steals her father's idol. All of these stories don't make sense until we discuss this understanding of who is the Mashiach ben Jacob and Mashiach ben David and who is the Mashiach ben Joseph. And when did Rachel die? She died on the 11th of Cheshvan. She died on the Mashiach Consciousness Day. This is who she is. She's Mashiach ben Joseph. She's defeating Satan. She's taking all of that energy back. And what happened? She dies on the road, and Jacob buries her on the way, all by herself. Because Jacob is trying to do the two jobs, that of Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Joseph. But a one person cannot do both jobs. So Jacob succeeded partially, and then he rested. He goes to Shechem, and he rested. But his job was to go and finish the work, and he didn't do it. But what happened? As soon as Joseph was born outside of the land to Rachel, he says to Laban, it's time for me to go back to Israel. And that's because Joseph took over the job of defeating Satan that Jacob was letting lie fallow, he wasn't completing. And Jacob trained Joseph. And all of the story of the multicolored coat and the dreams, these are tools to defeat Satan that Joseph needed. But Joseph had to go into Egypt. So he was sold as a slave. And he had to be tempted by the wife of Potiphar. And he said no. He resisted the temptation. He took the energy back. And ultimately, he interprets Pharaoh's dream. But what was Pharaoh's dream talking about? It was talking about famine. What was the famine? Because Joseph had defeated Satan by saying no to Potiphar's wife, Satan is starving. And what then happens in Egypt, which is the nation of Satan? That nation has to starve. Hashem, in his mercy, puts Joseph in charge, and he settles the food into storehouses and so forth. But this is the energy. This is the whole story. All of this is coming together. Here's an explanation that you've not heard before also. Why did Leah give birth to the tribe of Yehuda, which is the Jewish tribe? And the tribe of Yehuda is the king. So Yehuda is Mashiach ben David. That his descendants, King David, is the Mashiach that draws down the Kedusha after Mashiach ben Joseph takes the energy away from Satan. But who gave birth to Joseph? Rachel. So you see what I'm saying about the roles between the two women has been changed. Because Yehuda should have been the firstborn, and he was actually the fourthborn. He was the fourthborn because of the switch of the women. And Rachel brings Joseph because her job has been changed to fight Satan. But if you look at the 12 tribes, you have 6 sons that is born to Leah, and 2 that were born to her handmaid. And I always get the 2 handmaids mixed up, so I'm not going to say the name. So between the handmaid and Leah, there are 8 sons. And between Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of the physical sons of Rachel, and the 2 sons from her handmaid, From that side, there are four sons. So we understand what I said earlier, that Mashiach ben Joseph has to be twice as strong with eight tribes versus the Mashiach ben David with four tribes. You begin to see how all of these stories don't really make a whole lot of sense till you understand this process of taking back energy given to Satan. And once that is done, then you can bring down the Kedusha that is not yet revealed. But what happens? Moses comes along, and he defeats Egypt. What is Egypt? The nation of Satan. And then the people go into Israel, and they start sinning again. So you see, the whole cycle of history is this idea of the people sin, the energy goes to Satan, the Mashiach comes and defeats Satan, takes back the energy, and then the people start to sin again and give it back to Satan. This is the cycle, the pendulum of history. And you see this over and over. But this day of the 11th of Cheshvan is Mashiach energy. It is all of the energy, what we've given to Satan and what we need to draw down. And why did Rachel die on this day? Because when the people were defeated, when the first temple was destroyed, the people are marched to Babylon. And what happens when they're marched to Babylon? They pass Rachel's kever, her grave, where she is sitting in loneliness by herself, suffering. She had a horrible life. Her sister, she gives her sister her husband, and then her sister has all these children, and she is suffering for what she has had to do. And then what happens? There's this, again, this potential versus actual situation. The people are sent into exile as they walk by Rachel's grave, and she starts crying. I want my children to come back from exile. And there's a midrash that explains how Abraham goes to Hashem and tries to argue based on din, on judgment, on justice, that the people should be returned from exile. And Isaac goes and does the same thing based on judgment. And he doesn't succeed either. And then Jacob goes, and even Jacob can't succeed. Leah goes, she can't succeed. But Rachel comes with her tears, and she expresses, I was doing chesed. I was doing righteousness. I gave my husband to my sister. Based on that merit, Hashem, you should bring the people back from exile. Hashem was ready to say no. We're going to leave the people in exile until Mashiach actually comes, and then they can come back to Israel. No. Rachel succeeded in overturning that decree from the court in the spiritual level. That was the potential. They potentially could come back, but would they actually? That is the story of Purim. That is the story of Mordecai and Esther. Where do Mordecai and Esther come from? They come from the tribes of Ephraim, from the tribe of Joseph. Their job is to take back the energy from Satan. They have to defeat Satan. Why did it happen in Babylon? Because Babylon was the location of the negative system of where Satan was currently living, acting from. In the story, in the book of Daniel, you have this very strange story about how Michael and Gabriel have to team up. These two angels have to team up in order to defeat Satan, who says, no, you can't come into the land to take the people out. All of these stories, all of these midrashim, they're all talking about the same thing. Tonight is Mashiach energy. And if you don't know it, it's not part of your consciousness. You can't connect to it. And that's why I'm teaching it to you tonight. This is the basic stuff of the Kabbalah. And as I said earlier, there's 26 hours of recordings taking you through step by step the history, step by step each aspect of the story in the Torah and how it relates to this idea of the two Mashiachs. We don't have time to really go into the idea of Amalek. But here is a quick review. The 11th of Cheshvan is the light of Mashiach. All of the balance of Kedusha that is not yet revealed is supposed to come down on this day. Plus all the light, all the Kedusha that was given to Satan is to return to the children of Israel on this day. That's what this energy is. Instead of what happened with Methuselah in the early, with Noah, there was the flood. So it didn't happen in the plan of creation. But Rachel dies on the 11th of Cheshvan to show that she can transform the physical water back to the spiritual chesed. That's why she died this day, to bring that same energy in potential. She dies on this day to show that she and her descendants have the tools to defeat Satan. When does the Kedusha come down? She defeats Satan. The energy is taken back from Satan. But on the 17th of Cheshvan or the 18th of Cheshvan, all of the Kedusha comes down. First as a flood, but then with the tools of Kabbalah, we can transform that water into the light of Mashiach, which will essentially bring Olam Haba, the world that is coming, into the physical world. Who is Rachel? She is the mother of all of the children of Israel, all 12 tribes, because she's the one who saved them, who brought them back from exile. She's buried on the road by herself, since she is the mother of all of the children of Israel. She was buried on the road by herself to show the suffering, to use that tool, that third method of Isurin, of suffering that allows you to defeat Satan. It's a slower process. It's a more painful process. It's easier and better to do mitzvot. It's easier and better to do teshuvah. But Hashem has given us suffering as our third method. Rachel shows us the third method of pain and suffering. She's buried alone. She had a bitter life watching her sister give birth to the six sons and one daughter. She had the experience of the pain of the rape of Dinah. Yes, it wasn't her daughter, but it was. She was the mother of all of Israel. We have this pattern of cause and effect. And this is why the Kabbalists stay up on the 11th of Cheshvan. They stay up all night. We're not going to do that, because we're revealing all of the light in this teaching. Now, I didn't record it. I didn't create a handout because of time considerations. But if anybody would like to take the recording and transcribe it, I'm more than happy to have received that, and I will put it on our website so every year we can go through and make it clear what is the energy of the 11th day of Cheshvan. And I wish you all a wonderful 11th day of Cheshvan, where you connect to this energy of Kedusha, where everything is there just for the taking, because that's what Mashiach energy is all about. Now, I've taught you in an hour and a few minutes, hour and 20 minutes, what Rabbi Keston took 26 hours to teach. Does anybody have any questions? And I'm going to unmute the phones right now. So, are there any questions? I hear some people, but nobody's asking questions, so. I wish you all a beautiful holiday today, because that's what today is, the holiday of Mashiach.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Tyra.
Shalom.
Shalom to all.